Last year, a new exploitable vulnerability was discovered in the WordPress ecosystem roughly every 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah, over 11,000 in a single year. It is wild.
Right, over 11,000. So if you're staring at your screen right now and your website is dragging, your support tickets are just, you know, being completely ignored, and your hosting bill just spiked again, you might think you desperately need a faster server.
Oh, absolutely. That instinct is so common. You just want to pack up your digital bags and find a new host. It makes total sense when you're frustrated.
But what if your server isn't the problem at all? Like, what if you were about to spend weeks migrating a completely broken engine into a brand new car?
Exactly. It is, honestly, the most common trap in web management.
Okay, let's unpack this, because we're looking at some really incredible insights today from Scopic's comprehensive guide to WordPress hosting migration.
And it's a fantastic guide.
Yeah.
Because misdiagnosing the root cause of a slow or unreliable site is the absolute number one reason migrations fail to provide any actual relief.
Yeah, you go through all that pain of moving, right? Only to end up with the exact same problems, just on a different IP address.
Precisely. You essentially pack up your frustrations and unpack them on a new server.
Which is exactly the mission of this deep dive. We want to figure out if your hosting problem is genuinely an infrastructure issue, or if you're dealing with something, you know, much deeper.
Because nobody just wakes up and decides to do a massive server migration for fun. It's a huge headache.
Yeah, it's usually triggered by this creeping, compounding frustration over months or years.
Right, and that frustration usually stems from growth. We see this constantly in the industry. A business starts with, like, a lightweight 10-page brochure site on a shared hosting plan.
Super simple.
Exactly. It's fast, it's cheap. But then, over 5 years, that simple site evolves into this massive, heavy WooCommerce catalog.
Oh, wow, yeah. With hundreds of dynamic user sessions.
Yep. Complex database queries and, you know, a dozen premium plugins just slapped on top to hold it all together.
So let me push back on the instinct to just upgrade here. If I have that bloated, heavily customized plugin heavy site and it's chugging along, won't throwing a server with, say, double the RAM and CPU at it at least mask the problem?
Well, you'd think so.
I mean, a faster server will process those broken database queries faster, right?
What's fascinating here is that it actually might make things worse under pressure.
Wait, worse? How?
So a faster server might process a terrible query a fraction of a second faster, but it also exposes your architectural flaws much quicker when traffic spikes.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, if you have a fundamentally fragile plugin-dependent setup, a new server doesn't simplify that complexity. It just hosts your mess slightly faster until the database locks up entirely.
That makes total sense.
You really have to make a critical distinction between an infrastructure-level problem and a platform-level problem.
Okay, meaning if my site goes down at 2 a.m. because the physical hardware failed, or if my host's support team takes 3 days to answer a simple ticket that is a pure infrastructure problem, moving fixes that.
Precisely. But if WordPress itself is struggling to handle your specific scale, or, you know, your web development costs are ballooning because you're constantly paying for developer patches.
Right, to fight off those 11,000 vulnerabilities we mentioned.
Exactly. If you're buying premium security add-ons just to stay afloat, that is a platform problem.
Okay, so assuming you've done that brutal soul searching,
mm-hmm.
You've audited the site, you know the code is actually pretty clean, and you can honestly say, yes, my current host is suffocating me.
Right.
You still can't just blindly throw a dart at a board of hosting companies, right?
Yeah.
You have to lock down your non-negotiables before you even think about moving a single file.
You really do. And because WordPress powers over 43% of the entire internet, you are going to be bombarded with marketing.
Oh, yeah. Thousands of hosts claiming they are perfectly optimized for you.
Exactly. You have to cut through that noise with technical realities, for instance, PHP version compatibility. This is absolutely non-negotiable.
So what happens if you get that wrong?
Well, if you migrate a site running legacy plugins designed for, say, PHP 7.4 onto a modern server that strictly enforces PHP 8.2, you don't just get a slow site.
You get a broken one.
You get a fatal error. The site literally crashes the second you turn it on.
Wow. And it's not just the software versions, right? It's the hard limits the host imposes behind the scenes. Memory limits are a huge one.
Oh, memory limits are a classic trap.
Let's say your WooCommerce site needs 512 megabytes of PHP memory to process a complex checkout with dynamic shipping calculations.
Right.
If your shiny new host hard caps your memory at 256 megabytes, your customer will just hit a blank white screen the moment they try to hand you their money.
Which is a catastrophic failure at the absolute worst possible moment.
Yeah, that's literally losing revenue.
Exactly. You also have to scrutinize their service level agreement, their SLA. A marketing page promising 99.9% uptime is meaningless without a legally binding SLA.
Meaning they actually have to pay financial penalties if they fail to meet that metric?
Yep. Otherwise, it's just fluff. Furthermore, in an era where everyone talks about the cloud, it is remarkably easy to forget that physical geography still matters.
Oh, yeah. The speed of light is still the speed of light.
Exactly. Physical proximity dictates latency. Let's say 90% of your customers are based in London.
Okay.
But you spin up a server in Sydney because it was a few bucks cheaper. Every single database request has to travel across the globe and back.
That sounds incredibly inefficient.
It is. The latency will completely destroy your time to first byte, no matter how powerful the server is.
You know, the Scopic Guide actually had a brilliantly simple pre-flight test for this vetting phase.
The support ticket one.
Yes. They recommend opening a support ticket before you commit to buying anything.
Yeah.
Like ask a technical question.
It's such a smart move.
Because if their pre-sale support is slow when they're actively trying to win your money, imagine how completely unresponsive they will be when you are locked into an annual contract and your site is completely offline.
It is the ultimate litmus test for a company's actual culture versus their marketing.
Speaking of paying for things, I look at the price difference between unmanaged and managed hosting, and it is massive.
That's a big jump, yeah.
As a business owner, it's really hard for me to justify a 5x or 10x cost jump just to have someone else click update plugin for me on a managed plan. What am I missing in that calculation?
This raises an important question about how you value your time.
Because unmanaged means I have full control and I save a ton of money.
What you're missing is the calculation of risk mitigation versus simple convenience. Yes, unmanaged hosting gives you root access and a lower monthly bill, but you are now the sysadmin.
Which is terrifying for most people.
Exactly. Managed hosting is not just about clicking update. It's about what happens when that update breaks the site.
Oh, true.
A premium managed host is automatically testing that plugin update on a staging server first. They verify the site didn't crash, deploy it to production, and maintain automated off-site database backups.
So you can roll back instantly if something goes wrong.
Right. You have to ask yourself, how much does it cost your business if your unmanaged server gets compromised and your team has to spend 3 days rebuilding the database from a manual backup?
Yeah, it's essentially an insurance policy wrapped in an IT department.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay, so we've chosen the destination. The non-negotiables are locked in. The environment is configured. Now we actually have to move the site.
The fun part.
And reading through the mechanics of the move in the source material, it sounds like an absolute minefield. Most people think the actual file transfer is the hard part, but the real catastrophe usually happens in the prep work.
The preparation is entirely where a migration succeeds or fails. A rushed migration is the most common cause of complete data loss.
Scary.
For instance, mapping out your DNS and email configurations beforehand. You want a backup on a cloud and one local. It is incredibly common for someone to migrate their website files perfectly, point the domain to the new server, and completely forget to carry over their MX record.
Well, no, so they just lose their email?
Yep. Suddenly, every inbound email to their entire company bounces for 2 days and they have no idea why.
That is brutal. And the preparation also involves doing something that feels completely counterintuitive. Here's where it gets really interesting.
Oh, the plugins.
Yeah. The guide stresses that before you pack up your files, you must deactivate all of your caching plugins, your security plugins, your firewalls.
Tools like WP Rocket or WordFence.
Exactly. It feels like taking off your seatbelt to drive through a dangerous intersection. Why do we have to strip the site's armor off just to move it?
It's because of how those tools inherently function. Think about what a security plugin like WordFence actually does.
Yep.
It actively monitors your file system and database for massive unexpected code injections, right? To prevent malware.
Right.
Well, a migration is mechanically a massive, unexpected file and database shift.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Yeah. If your firewall is active during a move, it will look at the installer script trying to write to the database and say, wait, this is an attack. And it will actively block the process.
Wow. So it corrupts your transfer while just trying to do its job.
Exactly. Similarly, caching plugins will lock older versions of your URLs into memory, which fights the migration script trying to update your database pathways to the new server.
That is fascinating. The security is so good, it actually holds you hostage on the old server.
Pretty much.
So the shields are down, the caches are cleared. The guide highlights two primary ways to actually move the data. The first is the manual method, which frankly sounds like a nightmare unless you're a seasoned developer.
The manual method is really only for highly customized, complex architectures. It involves logging into FHPMy admin to export the raw SQL database.
Sounds messy.
And you have to make sure your character set encoding doesn't break in the process. Then using an FTP client like FileZilla to manually download and upload thousands of core WordPress files.
Which takes forever.
Then manually creating a new empty database on the new server. And finally, hard coding the new database credentials into the wp-config.php file.
Yeah, that's a lot of steps.
It gives you ultimate granular visibility, sure. But the surface area for catastrophic human error is massive. Drop one table during the SQL export and your site is completely dead.
Which is why the recommended route is the plugin method. Tools like Duplicator or All-in-One WP Migration, it's so much more elegant.
Oh, far more elegant.
You install the plugin on the old site, it bypasses those slow FTP protocols, and it compresses your entire site database, themes, media into a single zip archive.
Right, and it also spits out a lightweight PHP installer script.
Yeah, you just drop those two files onto the new empty host, navigate to your domain/installer.php, and the script essentially unpacks and rebuilds the entire site for you.
It handles all the heavy lifting, and crucially, it runs the search and replace protocols on your database automatically,
ensuring all your internal links are pointing to the right place in the new environment.
Exactly.
But regardless of whether you go manual or use a plugin, eventually the files are sitting on the new server, and you hit the moment of highest risk, the DNS propagation window.
The danger zone.
Now, usually people explain DNS as the internet's address book. But for an audience running massive digital operations, we know what DNS is. The real issue is the lag time, right?
Correct. When you tell the global internet that your domain now points to a new IP address, you are entirely at the mercy of global ISP caching.
And that caching lag can take anywhere from a few hours to a full 48 hours to update globally.
Yes. And during that window, a customer in New York might be routed to your brand new server, while a customer in Tokyo is still being served the old site from the old server.
Which is a huge problem.
Because if you process transactions on the old server during this window, that data is orphaned. It never makes it to the new server.
But there is a trick to bypass this 48-hour nightmare, right? The TTL strategy.
Yes, the time to live or TTL setting on your DNS records.
Yeah.
By default, your TTL might be set to 86,400 seconds, which is 24 hours.
Okay.
That tells global servers, hey, only check for an IP address update once a day.
That's way too slow for a migration.
Exactly. So the pro move is to go into your DNS settings a full day or two before your migration and lower that TTL to 300 seconds.
Which is 5 minutes.
Right. You are forcing the entire global internet to check for a new address every 5 minutes. By doing that prep work, you shrink that 48-hour danger zone down to a matter of minutes when you finally flip the switch.
That is literally the difference between a seamless transition and a weekend of sheer panic.
Truly.
Okay, so we survived the propagation, the switch is flipped, but we aren't done. A successful file transfer doesn't mean a successful migration. We have the post-launch audit.
Yes, you have to aggressively prove that the migration worked. You cannot assume anything.
So what are we checking?
You clear your server caches. You clear external CDN caches like Cloudflare. You test every single form on the site to make sure PHP mail routing is working.
Yeah.
You can check propagation on whatsmodensts.net.
Right.
And you establish a brand new automated backup schedule on the new host because your old cron jobs and backup routines will not carry over.
Good point.
Yeah.
And you turn the security plugins back on. You put the seatbelt back on.
Yes, please do.
I also noticed the guide heavily emphasizes checking your SSL and HTTPS settings.
Oh, that is critical.
If your database search and replace missed some internal image links and they are still hard-coded as HTTP instead of HTTPS, browsers will flag your entire page with mixed content warnings.
Which absolutely terrifies consumers. They see a not secure warning in their browser and they abandon their cart immediately.
Oh, 100%.
Furthermore, if Google crawls your site during a botched SSL transition, they can and will de-index those pages because they look compromised.
Which brings us perfectly to the real-world stakes of all this technical diligence. The source provided a case study on a company called Job Site Care.
Yes, the Scopic case study.
Scopic came in, audited them, and found a site that was perfectly salvageable, but was being completely suffocated by underpowered infrastructure.
The Job Site Care case is a perfect illustration of diagnosing the real problem.
Because it wasn't just copy-pasting the files.
No, the heavy lifting for Scopic wasn't pressing the migrate button. The actual work was the pre-migration audit. It was identifying deprecated plugins that were dragging the database down.
Figuring out what legacy code to abandon.
Exactly. And deeply cleaning the architecture before moving it into the new environment.
And the results of taking that streamlined, audited site and placing it on properly resourced hosting were just insane.
The numbers were staggering.
They saw a 1,306% increase in organic search clicks and a 490% increase in conversions.
That is massive.
But I really want to synthesize what happened there, because the new host didn't magically summon a 1,306% increase in traffic out of thin air.
Right. A server doesn't do SEO.
Exactly. No. What the migration did was remove the invisible ceiling. The slow server was penalizing their core web vitals. Once that bottleneck was gone, the search engines finally rewarded the digital equity they had already built.
That is the crucial takeaway. It validates everything we discussed about infrastructure holding a good platform back.
Yep.
But conversely, it highlights the immense SEO risk of a bad migration.
How so?
Well, if your URLs change accidentally during the move, or if you drop your 301 redirects, or if your SSL breaks, like we mentioned earlier, you will temporarily or permanently tank your search rankings.
Wow.
Poor migrations are silent killers. They quietly destroy years of SEO equity,
yeah.
And you might not notice the damage until your organic traffic has already flatlined.
So we've walked through what happens when everything goes right. You diagnose the host, you vet the non-negotiables, you dodge the DNS minefield, and the invisible ceiling is lifted.
Right.
But what if, after all this, you look at your operation and realize, you know, a new server didn't fix it?
Right.
What if you are still spending 40% of your week managing the quirks of WordPress, fighting plugin conflicts, and paying developers to patch security holes?
That is the ultimate pivot point for a scaling digital business.
It's a tough realization.
It's the realization that your needs have fundamentally outgrown what an open source, monolithic CMS like WordPress can efficiently deliver.
Right.
If achieving decent performance requires massive ongoing developer involvement just to keep the site from crashing, or if your actual product is the web application itself, WordPress might simply be the wrong tool for the job.
So what does this all mean? It changes the core question. It's no longer, is WordPress easy to use? The question becomes, is the technical overhead of WordPress still worth the effort for my specific business goals?
Precisely.
And if the answer is no, what are the actual alternatives?
The alternatives require a paradigm shift in how you view web architecture. The source mentions several paths. The most prominent right now is the shift to a headless CMS.
Let's break that down, because headless is a massive buzzword right now. What does decoupling actually mean in practice?
So in a traditional WordPress setup, the backend where your database and content live is tightly fused to the front end, the HTML and CSS that the visitor sees.
They're inextricably linked.
Exactly. A headless CMS severs that connection. Your content lives in a secure, API-driven database in the cloud. It has no front-end design at all.
Interesting.
You then build a completely custom, lightning-fast front-end using modern frameworks like React or Vue, and you pull the content via APIs.
Oh, wow.
It gives engineering teams total freedom to push that exact same content to a website, a mobile app, or a smartwatch without ever touching a server plugin.
Or, for teams that don't have an army of React developers, the guide points to platforms like Webflow, which offer incredible visual design freedom without any of the deep technical overhead of maintaining databases.
Yes, Webflow is a great option. Or specialized frameworks like Gatsby for absolute top-tier static site performance. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the key insight here is understanding the magnitude of the choice. Switching platforms, tearing down WordPress to build a headless architecture is fundamentally different from migrating hosts. Migrating hosts is taking your existing house and putting it on a faster foundation. Switching platforms is demolishing the house to build a purpose-built skyscraper from scratch.
That is a great analogy.
Recognizing which of those two things your business actually needs before you spend a dime is arguably the most crucial digital decision a company can make.
So let's bring this all together. Over the last few minutes, we've mapped out the reality of a migration. We started with the hard truth of diagnosis. Is it a broken engine or a bad chassis?
Right.
We stressed the absolute necessity of the pre-flight checklist, vetting the SLA, and doing the TTL trick to survive the DNS propagation window. We look at the irony of stripping off your security to securely move files.
A necessary evil.
We covered the post-launch audit to protect your SEO. And finally, we acknowledge that sometimes the bravest thing you can do is abandon the platform entirely. If you're just doing a standard host migration and you prep correctly, this whole process should only take about 1 to 3 days from the start of the audit to a fully confirmed live site.
It is entirely manageable if you follow the sequence and respect the mechanics. But there was a brief mention in the Snopik text about how modern architectures are intersecting with AI in web development, and it presents a really fascinating horizon.
Oh yeah, AI angle.
As AI continues to evolve, generating code and optimizing workflows, how long until the entire concept of a manual database export or agonizing over PHP compatibility becomes a relic of the past?
That's a wild thought.
We are rapidly approaching a future where an AI autonomously monitors your site's stress levels, recognizes it has outgrown its current environment, and seamlessly migrates your entire architecture to a newly provisioned, purpose-built framework.
Wow.
All without a human being ever having to touch a single configuration file or worry about a DNS TTL setting.
A self-diagnosing, self-moving infrastructure. That is a truly provocative thought to leave on. But until that AI takes over, if you're sitting there staring at that spinning refresh wheel and an unanswered support ticket, just remember, before you pack your digital bags and drop that heavy broken engine into a brand new sports car, make absolutely sure you're solving the right problem.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.